Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can find them at 1575 Hooksett Road. Call them at 485-5000 or visit rileysguns.com. Penny Dean, coming up next.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here for Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley's Sports Shop in Hooksett, where if you go to rileysguns.com, you'll see where they have a current special of 25% off all used muzzle loaders. Oh, what a great place to buy used guns, let me tell you. It really is. Penny Dean, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Very, very good.
Well, you know what? You segued in perfectly, and let me tell everyone something that, in my mind, in the law, changes every day, and it has always been thought by many that felons could have muzzle loaders. Okay, in New Hampshire, and we're talking in New Hampshire. Every state is different. As long as they were the old style muzzle loaders and didn't use any type of firearm components, meaning didn't use any of the primers, the shot shell primers, or didn't use any modern powder. They used the old powder, right?
Okay. Something like from Civil War era?
Something from the Civil War era, absolutely.
Okay.
In other words, they didn't use the new, I can't even think of the name. All of a sudden, it's escaping me. Thompson Contender muzzle loader. You know, you didn't use any of the new ones, new Encores or anything that could be made into firearms. And furthermore, there's a New Hampshire Supreme Court case where a gentleman who was a felon had a bow and shot a porcupine. And he was prosecuted for being in possession of a bow as a because we have two statutes in New Hampshire, two definitions, dangerous weapon and deadly weapon. And the New Hampshire Supreme Court struck his conviction, overturned it, overruled it, if you will, saying that there was no proof that he was going to use that bow to harm human beings. Now, so the general consensus in New Hampshire has been, if you're a felon, you can have a bow. I do not believe that's the case anymore, and let me tell you why. And I always, tell my clients that caution is easier than prosecution in fighting a case. Even if your caution is misplaced, sometimes easier to be cautious than to be the first case, if you will, the test case, which is always expensive and risky. There is a recent order, it's a trial court order, prohibiting a person from having a bow. And it's very specific, okay, saying that any person under certain indictment and felons, and I'm going to get it to you so you can post on your website. I meant to do that last week. And my thoughts are, if this remains unchallenged, okay, will this change or could this change if it percolates up through the system, the what is considered to be common knowledge now that felons can have bows? And so here's what I tell my clients is, yes, there's this New Hampshire Supreme Court case that essentially says a felon can have a bow. However, unfortunately, I have to say, as fickle as the courts can be, I don't recommend you have a bow because I think this could be overturned at any point. I'm not confident that it's a solid ruling. And so this, you know, segues into what can felons and their family members have and not have. And particularly, we start off looking at federal law, because what I explain to people is that what federal law does is federal law, and we're referring to what's called 18 U.S.C. 922G. And that is the federal statute that's what I call the no-no statute, the prohibited person statute. And that statute is where we start to look, and people say, well, I'm in New Hampshire. And federal law, what it does is if you're going to own a firearm, you have to comply with three layers of law. You have to comply with federal law, you have to comply with state law, And in some areas, you have to comply with local law. Now, in New Hampshire, we have what's called statewide preemption, so there isn't any local law to comply with. We only have two levels, you know, that you have to comply with. But what's important to know is federal law actually directs the person to state law. So what federal law says, with the exception of certain federal crimes, is they say, we look to the state where the person was convicted to say, what is the crime labeled there, and what was the potential sentence that the person could have received? And this is a case where ignorance of the law is absolutely no excuse. I have people say, well, no one told me, or I didn't know, and the law doesn't care. The law just flat says, here's your conviction, you should have known, and go to jail now and lick your wounds, if you will. So right. I tell people, this is an area of the law that you have to be very, very careful in. And federal law says, if you have been convicted in a court of a crime punishable by imprisonment for a term exceeding 1 year, okay, and it doesn't matter if you never went to jail, if you had all fines suspended, any of that type of thing, if you could have received more than 1 year, then you are barred under federal law from firearms ownership.
This is interesting because we've talked about this one before.
That's exactly right. And that's today what I'm going to do is go in a little more detail, because I have people all the time, I can tell by my phone calls, that people still aren't getting it and they get into trouble. And the number one thing I hear people say I'm going to do is, well, I'm just going to go in a gun store, I'm going to fill out the 4473, and if they let me have a gun, great, I'm okay. You know, that means there must be nothing there. And if they don't, okay, then I'll know I can't. And that's the worst thing in the world to do, because merely filling out that paper, it's called a federal form 4473, an ATF form 4473, is a crime if you're a prohibited person.
Mm-hmm. How do you know if you are a prohibited person, though?
Well,
how can you find out?
The only way, in my opinion, you can find out is talk to a qualified lawyer to make that determination. Because there are, and what you have to do, for example, if someone comes to me, the first thing I say to them is, have you ever been arrested, charged, or been to court in any state in the country? And sometimes you have to really dig deep through the layers, because people have this darn amnesia when it comes to arrests in court.
Oh, you just watch any episode of Cops. Have you been arrested before? No. And then they go run the driver's license. Yeah, you have. Five times.
Yeah. And well, people do that when I'm trying to help them. I had a guy call me the other day. I said, wait a minute. He said, well, I wasn't arrested, I went to court. I said, okay. Have you ever been to court before? And so when and where have you been to court? And they tell me. But I didn't go to jail. And they don't understand that that's not the analysis. For many, many first-time offenders, they don't impose a jail sentence. Sometimes they impose a fine or suspend a fine or say you have to be of good behavior for a certain period of time.
Right.
And people think, well, I didn't go to jail, so therefore I'm not barred from owning a firearm. And the other huge misnomer is, I've only been convicted of a misdemeanor, not a felony. Therefore, I'm not barred from firearms. And that's absolutely not true. Yeah, that's a huge, huge thing that people don't understand. And that's the second part.
A misdemeanor could be like simple assault or something like that.
It could even be as simple as urinating in public.
Really?
Yes, in some states, urinating in public is a 2.5-year misdemeanor. So how many people, especially guys, raise their hand, and let's all be truthful here, how many guys when you were young had one too many brewskis and stopped on the way home and peed goodness knows where, right? And
it's not just guys.
That's true, women too. But guys tend to do it more readily because it's easier for them, you know?
Right, right.
But absolutely, people, how many people have stopped when they were young and they shouldn't have driven, or even their friends were driving, and they went, I can't wait, you got to pull the car over, I have to, you know, I have to do this. And the bottom line is, if you're anywhere near where anyone can see you, they charge you with all sorts of, you know.
Oh, sure.
And so people forget about those. How many people in their college days did things that they would rather forget about? You know, they had too many drinks, and they were celebrating a tough exam or
public
whatever.
Drunkenness, you know, getting caught by, you know, the police walking back to your dorm at UNH or something like that, maybe. I don't know.
Absolutely. There's things like that that happen all the time. And then there's another provision of law. It's called what I call the 2-year rule. And federal law also says, and this is in section 921A20, and it says the term crime punishable by imprisonment for a term exceeding 1 year does not include any federal or state offenses pertaining to antitrust violations, unfair trade practices, restraints of trade, or other similar offenses relating to the regulation of business practices. And so what I always tell people is that there's a lot of exceptions, okay?
So you can be a fraudster and still be allowed to own a firearm.
That's right.
How nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, there was one fraudster who was one of the so-called kings of infomercials who hung himself in his jail cell yesterday.
Oh, you're kidding.
So that was, Don LaPree, I think it was his name, or Dan LaPree or something like that, young-looking guy. You know, he's always hawking something in the middle of the night, but, he was looking at all kinds of stuff, so he probably would have been exempt under this federal law. That's great, even though he would have gone to jail for 20-some years.
Isn't it amazing? And furthermore, there's another exemption that people forget, and it's any state offense classified by the laws of the state as a misdemeanor and punishable by a term of 2 years or less.
Okay.
And here's why this is very, very important. In New Hampshire, we have a lot of Massachusetts transplants. And what I call it, the communist wealth of Massachusetts, what the communist wealth of Massachusetts did, in order to what I call cheat people of their Second Amendment rights, because what I see is this huge, wave across the country. And what they're doing is they're disenfranchising of people of their Second Amendment rights one by one by one. And because people are embarrassed, they don't seek lawyers, they don't seek help. They just quietly go in the corner and give up their Second Amendment rights because of what I call stupid things. Like, for example, I had a client one time that skinny dipped in a hotel fountain.
Okay.
and that's a crime, by the way.
Let me guess. Alcohol might have been involved in that, too.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say is that the type of dangerous person that you want to disabuse of their Second Amendment rights? I mean, come on. You know.
Well, hold that thought there. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number. Attorney Penny Dean joining us here for Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can find them online at rileysguns.com, but also at 1575 Hooksett Road. Their phone number is 485-5000, and check out the deal on used muzzle loaders. Penny, because looking at people who do come here from the People's Republic of Massachusetts, you know, they come here thinking, hey, great, I'm going to live free or die, baby. I'm home free. I can get what I want, right? No.
That's exactly right. And here's the largest thing that they do. They think, okay, this particular crime that I was convicted of in Massachusetts, I can't own guns, but in New Hampshire, there's no such prohibition. And I hold my hands to my head. I scream and I biff my head against the wall like 20 times, and I go, no, no, you're wrong. You know, that ban follows you everywhere. Because what people don't understand is federal law looks to the state law of conviction, wherever you were convicted.
Of the conviction, not of where you're residing.
Absolutely, of the conviction. And says, okay, let's say you have a conviction in Massachusetts. How would Massachusetts treat you? And what Massachusetts did some years ago, and I find this horribly offensive, but not surprising, is when this federal law came into being and became more and more used, Massachusetts said, wait a minute, we have all these two-year misdemeanors, which means people can still own firearms. We'll fix that. So they made all their misdemeanors 2.5-year misdemeanors. And the difference between a 2-year misdemeanor and a 2.5-year misdemeanor is the difference between lawfully being able to own firearms and not being able to own firearms.
Hmm.
And so that's a huge, huge, huge thing that people have to know. So whenever someone says to me, for example, I have people come to me because I'm licensed in Massachusetts, say, you know, do my convictions bar me from firearms ownership? The first thing I have to do is get the law in effect at the time they were convicted, the potential punishment in effect at the time they were convicted, and say, okay, this is a 2.5-year misdemeanor or this is a 2-year misdemeanor. But in Massachusetts, for example, the inquiry doesn't stop there. Federal law says if your Second Amendment rights are in any way restricted by the state where you have your conviction, that we have to look at, with federal firearm rights, it's all or nothing. It's like pregnant. You're not sort of pregnant or kind of pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant.
You're pregnant whether you move across state lines or not.
Bingo. And mm-hmm. So what happens is that in Massachusetts, they have this really, really weird fiction. And I just laugh about it every day. In Massachusetts,
we'll have about a minute or two to wrap this up, yeah.
Oh, then you know what?
We'll have to do part two next week. I have a feeling.
Part two next week. here's the thing. In Massachusetts, they will let you own shotguns and rifles, even though they won't let you own handguns. Okay. What federal law says is, it's either all or nothing. And if you ask why the feds have been letting them get away with that in Massachusetts, I have no clue. I have no clue. But people come to New Hampshire and think, okay, now I can own them all. And my answer is, no, you couldn't own anything to begin with.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not only are we looking at the conviction of the state, you know, the state where you were convicted, but we're looking at the laws at the time of the conviction, regardless of whether the laws have changed since then or not.
Absolutely. And it's hugely, hugely important to know that, because I had a client one time. He was arrested and they were going to charge him with a prohibited person attempting to purchase a firearm because the current crime was a felony and blah, blah, blah. And I said, wait a minute, this guy was convicted 25 or 26 years ago, and here was the potential punishment at the time, and it was this, and the prosecutor said, that can't be right. I said, well, I'm pretty sure it is. And everybody looked at it. I said, see, he can own firearms. You know, it might be a felony now, it might be this level now, but he was convicted 26 years ago, and it was a misdemeanor with a $100 fine.
Okay.
You know, and so what happens, though, is when they run a check where all the states are putting their information in the federal database now, it came up with he was convicted of XYZ crime, and everyone assumes that it has to be a felony, right?
Yes.
And my answer was, not 20-some years ago it wasn't.
Amazing how complicated it could be. But these are questions that do come up, and these are good questions that have to be asked and answered so people don't get themselves into trouble when they think that they might not have gotten into trouble. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'll just go fill out the form 4473 and see what happens. Yeah, you'll be wearing some silver bracelets.
That's exactly. And what's worse is tons of them say, well, the cops know the laws. We'll just go ask my local cop, right? And I go, no. I said, when your tooth hurts, do you go ask the guy at the local hardware store how to fix your tooth?
He'll sell you a pair of pliers.
That's true. He could. But here's what I said. With most exceptions, I said there's two things. Number one, most cops did not go to law school, so they don't know the answer. Okay, and they really, truly don't know the answer about firearms at all. But the other thing is a duty to you. Even if they knew the answer, they have no duty to you, like a lawyer does, to give you the correct answer.
Uh-huh.
Think about it. If you come to a lawyer and they give you the wrong answer, you can sue them civilly for all sorts of breaches, and they have a duty to you to keep your confidence, number one.
Yep.
And number two, to give you competent, proper advice and the right answer. And what happens is, first of all, a cop has no duty to keep your confidences. He can go tell 10 people what you've just told him. But moreover, he has no duty to give you the correct answer, and you have no recourse against him later.
That's amazing. Well, Penny, we'll look forward to talking more about this one next week. How do people get in touch with you if they have any questions in the meantime?
230-9999.
Very good. Penny at pennydean.com. And again, thank you to Riley Sports Shop and Hooksett for making this segment of Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean possible right here on Bulldog Live. 1575 Hooksett Road, 485-5000. Visit them online at rileysguns.com. And there's no excuses for you to get over there. They're open 7 days a week, Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 5. Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, 10 to 5. Thanks, Penny. Good chatting with you.